Turn with me again to Joshua chapter 7. Beginning in verse 19, let's hear the word of God. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing this morning. Again, as we have the opportunity to open your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive them. And I thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Have you ever watched a movie or a television show, whatever, looked at the actors that are on the screen in front of you and thought, "I could do that. I could do that job." Well, how accomplished at acting are you? Isn't the whole reason for acting to convince others that you're somebody that you're not? Isn't that the whole purpose? You know, it's true that many people live as if they were in the cinema. And they do it capably because they're able to fool many people. The reality is that we live our lives coram Deo. We live our lives before the face of God. And God sees past any act that we put up. God knows us. God sees us at our very core. He knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. In the book of Numbers, the 32nd chapter, representatives from the tribes of Gad and Reuben go to Moses. And they're coming to the promised land. And they ask Moses, would it be possible for them, could they settle on the east side of Jordan? They said, that land there is perfect for livestock, and we have livestock. I mean, that would be a great place for us to live and settle. And Moses looked at him, and he rebukes the guys. He says, what are you thinking? He said, look, everybody else has to go in, and we're going to have to go to war. We're going to have to fight. And you guys want to just settle here? You just want to slough off? You don't want to do anything? And the representative said to Moses, they said, no, that's not it. He said, look, we're willing to go and fight. We will join our brothers in the fight. We just ask you that we can settle on this part of the Jordan because of the fertility of the land and whatnot. Well, Moses agrees with them, and he reminds them that what it is that you're doing is before the Lord. And in verse 23, he charges them, and he says, listen, if you don't do what you say, understand this, you've sinned against God. You've sinned against the Lord. And in that 23rd verse, he says, and be sure your sin will find you out. Understand this. You're not going to be able to trick God. Judgment will come to you. Jumping back up here to Joshua. Israel was told when they took Jericho that they were to take nothing for themselves. The precious metals and the iron were to be taken for the treasury of the Lord. But they were to take nothing for themselves. And yet, after that battle and that great victory at Jericho, they went on to a smaller town of Ai. And they were confident of a victory there. And Ai came out and whooped them. They came out and defeated them. And Joshua was beside himself. He said, something has happened. How can we have this great victory at Jericho and go to this smaller town and get beaten like that? And the reality came to him that there was sin in the camp. The reason for their defeat was because there was sin there. And the Lord came to, and spoke with Joshua, and he gave him a process whereby he could find the offending individual. There was a process of elimination. They brought in the tribes, they brought in the families, and from the families they brought individual people until it was sorted out. Achan was the guy. In verse 19, Joshua takes Achan aside and says, what have you done? What is it that you did? And in verse 20, Achan confesses. And he says, I saw the goods there, and I coveted them, and I took them. I did it. I did that thing. Achan had sinned, but he was not the only one who was affected by his sin. The sin of Achan cost him a battlefield defeat. It cost 36 lives. The sin of Achan encouraged the enemies of Israel because they said, look, if Ai can take these guys out, we got nothing to fear. We're okay. And so Joshua, while he has Achan standing there, has some messengers go to Achan's tent. And he says, they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent with the silver under it. The items that Joshua had stolen for him, or that Achan had stolen for himself, were right there. And they gathered them up and they brought them back. And it says, they laid them out before the Lord. That's an important statement that the scriptures are making. See, it wasn't just that they brought the contraband back and set it down in front of the people. The scripture wants us to understand that God was seeing this. That they were laying it out before Almighty God. That if Achan has any second thoughts about denying what he'd done, it's all over. That he's caught. He's in the middle of it. Achan, in verse 20, convicts himself. He confesses to the sin. But now the evidence is laid out there. There is another witness against him at this point. God is a holy God, and he cannot tolerate sin. Remember in Jericho, we see the blessing of God's mercy extended to Rahab and her entire household because she was obedient. She did what was asked of her. And when Jericho is eliminated, Rahab and her family is saved and brought out. Now we see judgment brought not only against Achan, but on all that he had. Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Achor is a play on words. It's a play on the name of Achan. Achor means trouble. Achan had brought trouble into the camp. Achan was the guy who was troubling Israel at this point. And Joshua says to him, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day, which is at the day of this writing. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. God would not tolerate it. God would not give Israel the victory as long as sin was still in the camp. And we look at the judgment that came upon him and upon his household. And we say, man, that was pretty harsh. That God, couldn't you ease up a little bit? I mean, that's a pretty harsh judgment. But if we set aside the direct defiance of God's command, which, you know, you can't do. Achan, you know, defied God's word. Achan defied the law that had come down. He deliberately broke God's law. But his disobedience resulted in the death of 36 other people. He was responsible for their death. And so we say, you know, the capital punishment obviously applied to him. But why execute his family? It says they brought his sons and his daughters. Now, one thing, I'm not 100% certain that they did die. But a reading of the scripture certainly leans us that direction. And the only reason that I waver just on this one point is that the scripture says, and they stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. The different commentators, well, again, they disagree, the guys that I look into. And most of them, though, believe that the family perished with Achan. Some of them say no, that when the scripture refers to them, it's only referring to the animals in the tent and that sort of thing. But let's just say, since I think the scripture leans towards his entire family being lost at this point. If that happened, why? Is God holy? Is God just? Can we look at this and say, well, God certainly didn't give justice in this instance? God does not punish innocent people. God does not punish innocent people. Who is innocent? Who that is born innocent? Nobody. See, thanks to Adam, we're all born in a sinful condition that's worthy of death. But in this instance, scriptures don't tell us specifically, but we can speculate that Achan's family knew. I mean, after all, he took what was forbidden and hid it in his tent. Tent had a dirt floor. The guy had to go dig a hole in the floor to bury this stuff. You think he didn't know? You think they didn't know what was going on? Do you think that possibly they were looking forward to a little something extra as time went on, that they, you know, they had a little nest egg there, so to speak? It's possible. But God does not punish innocent people. Okay, then why kill off the animals? Why burn his tent? Why do those things? I mean, sure, we have an account in Scripture of Balaam's donkey talking to him, but that wasn't the norm. I mean, anybody who talked to animals after that was kind of looked at with one eyebrow raised kind of a thing. That was a rare. This was Achan's wealth that was perishing. And when we look at the things that Achan had, we can understand that Achan was not stealing out of necessity. You know, he wasn't hungry when he went into Jericho. He wasn't stealing so that he might have bread on his table. He was stealing for some momentary pleasure. He was looking out for number one. And God had specifically said, don't do that. Nothing was going to remain that was his that would taint the camp. Nothing was going to stay. What Achan had done in secret was now publicly judged. And it would leave an indelible mark on the minds of the people. God would not be mocked. Why do we think that we can get away with anything? Why do we think that, oh, God's not going to, he's not going to care if we just do a little bit? That's what Achan thought. A little seemed all right. Because we still have a battle within us with an old sin nature. And more often than not, that nature raises up itself and wins. And we got to say, wait a minute. I have a new nature. I am a new creation in Christ. And we are no longer under sin's dominion. We claim the power of God. We claim the strength of God and His holy word. And we battle back. God says, thou shalt not steal. But the crooked butcher says, you know, if my thumb lays on the scale just a little bit, it's okay. Yeah, I'm only going to charge for like a couple extra ounces. God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But we say, I love her. And we're in this loving relationship, so a little bit doesn't matter. It's okay. God says, no, it's not okay. And so we try to hide these things from Him, but we hide nothing from God. God knows the hidden things of the heart, and He will not be mocked. Achan suffered a terrible judgment. Blessing is, God does not stay angry with His people. When sin is confessed, when repentance occurs, God's anger subsides. Obedience, understand this, obedience always brings God's blessing. Always. When we are doing what God tells us to do, we can expect nothing but blessing from Him. Now, we might have problems with His enemies. But from God Himself, we can expect nothing but His blessing. In chapter 8, it says, now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land, and you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. After that traumatic experience, after having been soundly defeated at Ai, then discovering the reason for the defeat and eliminating that problem, the job still was not done. The Lord said, Joshua, we're still going into Canaan. This is the land that I've given to y'all. And we're still going to go in there. We're still going to take it. Ai is the next step on the list. You got to go back there and take it. And Joshua could have been fearful. And he may have been fearful. He lost 36 guys. You know, 36 out of thousands of men, that doesn't seem like much. But if you're the family of one of those 36, that's a big deal. And if you're the leader of that bunch, you don't want to see any of your people lost. And so he might have been a little nervous, but it was the Lord who was telling him to go. He said, you go back in there, you take everybody this time, don't shortchange yourself, don't just take a few. You take everybody, and you're going to whoop this guy. You're going to go in there, and you're going to take that city, and you're going to do to them every bit that you did to Jericho. The only difference is, this time, instead of forbidding you to take anything for yourselves, you can take it all for yourselves. You can enjoy the spoils of war. So he gave him, he gave Joshua a strategy as to how to attack Ai. And he said, I want you to set an ambush. You know, the really cool thing about this account is that there have been people in the years since Joshua who have used that same strategy to win wars. And they go in, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just set an ambush out like between Bethel and Ai on the west side. And then I want you to go on down front. You make sure the king can see you all real good. And when you get down there, that king, he's going to think, you know, these people are nuts. As the king in Ai, he's going to say, I remember the last time Israel was here, and we did it. We did a number on them. We whooped them up really good. And so he's going to feel, you know, he'll be feeling his oats. He'll be ready to run. And I want you to get down there. When you get down there, what I want you to do is when that king starts to come out for you, you run away. And he's going to chase you. He's going to think you're scared, you're afraid of him, and he's going to chase you. And so Joshua comes down, and the day comes, and he does as the Lord tells him. And the Lord says, I want you to do one other thing. He says, I want you to take your spear, and I want you to hold your spear up. And just point it right there towards the city. And you might, you got to think that at this point, Joshua is remembering the fight with Amalek. And he's saying, you know what, I remember that. Because Moses held his hands up. And as long as Moses' hands were up, we won. And when Moses' arms started to drift a little bit, we started losing. And that's when Aaron and Hur jumped in and held his hands up and until the battle was ours, the victory was ours. So that thought had to be there. And he said, yeah, I'm doing this. God says, do it, I'm doing it. So he took his spear and he held it up towards the city. And he had a group of guys that ran down to the front. King of Ai, he looks out and he sees them, and he comes charging out. And as soon as he comes charging out, Joshua says, hey, guys, retreat, retreat, run, because that fella's coming. Well, while Ai and his mighty men of valor are chasing the Israelite guys, the ambush is sprung. And the guys from behind go in, and they set the city of Ai on fire, and they start to burn it down. Well, it's only after the smoke starts rising that the guys from Ai, they turn around and they see it. And they said, well, that ain't good. He said, when we left, I was pretty sure we turned the stove off. But no. That smoke is just rising and pouring up. And then they realized they was in a pickle. Because they had no place to run back to. It was all burning down. And then they realized that they were surrounded by this army of people that they had beat up on before. And Israel pretty much took care of them at this point. Joshua did one other thing. Says, well, let's come down here to verse, where are we at? 23. The king of Ai, they took alive and brought him to Joshua. So Israel pretty much whooped up on the troops there that Ai had sent out, but they kept the king alive. And they brought him back, but that king wasn't going to stay alive long. Because they did another little thing here. Joshua took that king and had him hanged. They hung him on a tree, and they just left him there all day long. Now, we can glean from the scriptures that there were other kings out and about who saw this. They saw what was going on. They saw the battle that was going on. And they saw this dead guy hanging from a tree. And it sent a message to them that things would not bode well for you if you oppose Israel. But Joshua, keeping to the law, which said you can't leave a dead guy on a tree all night long, when it got to be about dusk, they had him cut down, and they took the body, and they just pretty much threw it at the gate to the city. And then they heaped a bunch of stones over top. Scripture says, and that memorial's there to this day. Again, to this day is the day of the writing of this record. The likelihood is we could go over to Israel today and probably not find that memorial. You know, Achan didn't mean anything. He wasn't trying to hurt anybody. He was just looking to please himself a little. Yeah. But the problem is it cost him, well, it violated God's law, and it cost him everything, and it hurt Israel corporately. Once the sin was dealt with, the blessing was restored. The Valley of Achor was a place of trouble. But if you go back to the book of Hosea, and you read the story in there of Hosea and the marriage that the Lord had arranged for him, God said that he was going to take the Valley of Achor and make it a door of hope. We can find ourselves in a valley of trouble. Yet we still have a door of hope. A door of hope, obviously, is in Christ. And it's only Christ that can make it so. Jesus Christ has already endured our trouble. Jesus Christ has already suffered death for his people. He has made it possible for us to escape eternal judgment. You know, the day is coming when we will be judged. That's inescapable. But his eternal wrath is very escapable. He's given us that door of hope. He's made it possible for us to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this life isn't all there is. That when this body goes back to the dust, we have the guarantee of a resurrection. That You see, your life never ends. Your eternity is going to be spent one place or the other. And you will do it in a resurrected body. God's church will be resurrected to life eternal. God's enemies are resurrected to an eternal judgment, an eternal wrath. Jesus has taken that place for us. I challenge you, do not take your sin lightly. Because it's not a light thing with God. Pray every day for His power and His strength to overcome. You fall down, don't delay to make amends. Go to God and confess it. And say, you know, I slipped up that one. I sure tripped up here. Lord, I thought I was doing the right thing, but you know, I really was not doing the right thing. I was caught up in my own thinking. I was caught up in my own wisdom. I was not using the wisdom from above, the wisdom that comes through the knowledge of your word. Forgive me for that, Lord. Help me not to stumble here again. And just as Joshua and the children of Israel received the blessing when they were obedient, is so with you. Make it right with God and receive His blessing. Let's pray.